first reading for this third Sunday of Easter comes from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. Epistle reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but he was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospels from Luke chapter 24. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things which had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11, and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened to them on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is one of my personal favorite passages. I'll admit it doesn't have that memorable phrase. It doesn't have a really punchy twist because it gives it all away at the start. And it doesn't have a built-in tension. It probably isn't even the most well-known road passage. I think the road to Emmaus takes second place to the road to Damascus. What charms me, though, is its slow burn, the way it represents our Christian life. In the first place, the road to Emmaus is about expectations. They were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. It's one of those deep conversations, like, how in the world could the Bears trade 5 draft picks to move up one space to draft a quarterback from North Carolina? And this guy comes up along the road completely ignorant of the move. Are you the only person in America that doesn't get ESPN on every device in your home? Well, those are some things that we have those type of conversations over. That, or reality TV, or national politics. We invest great expectations in these things. The two men on the road to Emmaus did so in religious figures. The dullard who had just joined their walk says, No, I've been out of contact for a while. What things are you talking about? And they tell him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man, a prophet, mighty in word and deed. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Their great expectations. I'm only being slightly snarky about ESPN, but as we walk through our lives, we invest great expectations in all kinds of different things. things, some more and some less worthy, some more distractions, like the NFL, and some much more worthy, like the NHL. But as we walk our perception of those expectations, often meets some cognitive dissonance. Like, you mean scheduling my life around SportsCenter and Thursdays is the new Fridays isn't the high life? No, instead, I can schedule it around meeting quarterly reports and the next promotion and getting another tombstone or clock to put on my desk. These men had hoped for the redemption of Israel. But what did they get? Well, some women had come back and were telling them stories of angels and that he was risen from the dead. And some of the men went and came back and said it was exactly like they said, although they didn't see Jesus. And that's when these two left. Couldn't take the nonsense anymore. Our great expectations don't like changes. We wanted the prophet, great in word and deed, not the crucified. We wanted the king, not the king of the Jews. We wanted something sure, not reports of resurrection. The unrecognized Jesus, walking with them, blurts out, "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe what the prophets have spoken." And then he takes those two back to Sunday school in the start of all these things. Where do we get our great expectations? What are valid sources? How do we check them? What are the ways that we might hone them to something more than the bear's draft or a corner office? How can we become wise and not foolish ones? The road eventually ends. And as with all road trips worthy of the name, it ends with a recognition and altered desires. These two on the road to Emmaus convince the stranger who was at first the dumbest thing that they'd ever known to stay with them. And when he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, they recognized him. And they saw him no more. Instead of running away from Jerusalem, they run back towards it. The words they heard that forced them out are now on their lips. The Lord has risen indeed. These post-resurrection appearances of Jesus all share a threat. They all start with gatherings of disciples that are disbelieving or misinterpreting in some way. Whether it's the disciples hiding behind closed doors because of fear, or Thomas, who wants to thrust his hand into the open side, or these two on the road to Emmaus, who expected the advent of the kingdom of glory and got the cross. They all disbelieved or doubted the work of God. So Jesus appears to them. To those fearing disciples, he says, "Peace to you. Stop fearing. I'm breathing upon you the Holy Spirit and sending you out to call and to gather and to feed my sheep." To Thomas, he tells him to come over here and thrust your hand. But then he says to us, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. To these disciples on the road to Emmaus, you could walk with me an entire day and not really recognize me, but here, in the breaking of bread, in the fellowship around this breaking of bread, you can recognize the body of Christ. The resurrection appearances are necessary to build that faith. But once that faith takes root, once their hearts are burning, their purpose is done. If our great expectations are for this world only, it's time for that road trip. But we're always invited back to this Sabbath rest. When we're tired of walking, here we can see him. And he feeds us with his own body and blood. And he gives us faith's food for the pilgrimage, for our road trip. Here at this table is one of those places that aligns our expectations. We desire no ordinary feast, but we're expecting the wedding feast of the Lamb and his kingdom. Today, we walk by this foretaste of that feast. But then, in Jerusalem, where else do we get our expectations? And at this point, I'm not talking about hobbies or pastimes or even vocations. Those always have their place. But what I'm talking about here is the ordering of our desires. Jesus would say, seek the kingdom first, and all of these things will be added. But what is the roadmap to that kingdom? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. The roadmap is the scriptures. As we are walking the way of our Christian life, what should we be consistently looking at? The scriptures. If we're stuck, if we feel like we're fleeing from something, or we've got great expectations about something wrong, how do we discern it? The scriptures. Everything necessary to be wise unto salvation has been given in them. But let me expand on that just a little bit. The foundation of these scriptures is Christ. All of them, Jesus says, talk about him. It doesn't matter if you're in Genesis or if you're in Kings or if you're in James. Christ is present and is being talked about. The scriptures are first the story of everything that God has done for us. They're God's gift of self-revelation. This is what God wants us to know about our Creator. He loves us enough that he suffered and died that we might live. And that life comes through faith. Through faith in that gift. And Moses is part of that story. Moses is also a gift. The law is good and wise. The first level built on the foundation of Christ is those five books of Moses. The Catechism sums them up in the Ten Commandments. Because of Christ, that law no longer has its sting. It no longer only condemns us. But now, in Christ, they help us to recognize the path we are meant to walk. As Paul says in Ephesians, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In Christ, we walk this way. And as my favorite hymn puts it, my walk is heavenward all the way. When we've recognized Christ in our midst, when we've had our expectations changed, we probably find ourselves about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Excuse me, a bit of mysticism, but 7 miles, a complete amount. That might be in a far country, along with the prodigal. It might be like Mary, never having actually left the Savior's feet. It's different for each one of us. But from that time that we recognize the Lord, we are walking to the New Jerusalem. If you wanted to turn around and keep going the way you were, you could. But there's nothing that way but pillars of salt. If you walk the narrow way, yes, Satan has laid many a trap. But nothing that Christ has not experienced himself, and within his wounds, we can find a stay. Because he gladly breaks bread with us along the road. And next year happens. The Cubs won the World Series. Next year, in Jerusalem. Amen.